Merci.
The second reading this morning is Matthew, first chapter, 1 through 6, and then 17. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, the mother, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Abimeledab. Abimeledab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Solomon. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah. Thus, there was 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless us.
Amen. Thank you, Roger, for the genealogy. We didn't have someone signed up for this week, and I did warn them ahead of time. I said, well, there's a little bit of genealogy in this one, so just so you know, Deb chickened out and gave it to Roger. I don't know how many of you ever gone to Ancestry.com and looked at your ancestry and kind of followed the tree out a little ways. I've never done that in part because I had grandparents, grandma in particular, that did a lot of, at least on dad's side, did a lot of branching out for us and actually put together a, I don't know, 30 or 40 page kind of little booklet that kind of gave us some history going back as far as she could go with it. And it was kind of interesting for me. I always wondered if I went onto Ancestry.com and started looking at all my different branches from all over the place, what I might find. You know, is there a serial killer in my past? I mean, what is it that's in my ancestry that I may not want to know about, or maybe some things I may want to know about? My understanding from Grandma was that we are very distant relatives, so I didn't receive any benefit from it. I wasn't an inheritor of it, but I forgot his name. The steel magnate, Andrew Carnegie. He's on the branch, probably way out here in the very end, the last leaf way over here, but he's in there somewhere on the branch. But you wonder when you look at the past what it might look like. Is it princes or paupers? You know, is it law abiders or law breakers? Is it anonymous people, or is it famous people that would be in our ancestry? Well, here we are with Jesus' genealogy. Now, this isn't a complete genealogy. It's called a telescoping genealogy because in order to be uniform, there was the 14, the 14, and the 14. There may have been others in between, but they like to keep things. Numbers are very important in the Jewish world. I hope you understand that. And here is a genealogy that takes us from Abraham to David. I didn't have Roger read some of the other ones from David to Jesus because there were some real doozies there that you'd have to read. But you get to the point. There was this genealogy. And in this section of genealogy, you look at the genealogy and you say, that's in my tree. Think about it. There are some folks in this tree that probably weren't the greatest of people to be associated with. We've got here Judah and Tamar. If you want to go back to Genesis 38, you can read the story about Judas and Tamar. This is Judah was Tamar's father-in-law, and there were issues going on with, anyway, she didn't have any kids, and I'm not going to tell you the story. It's kind of a gross story, but Judah and Tamar, Judah became the father of Tamar's child through means that weren't the greatest of means, as she disguised herself as a prostitute, and voila, here's what happens. That's in Jesus' genealogy, folks. Rahab was a prostitute. She did a good thing, though. Rahab protected the Jewish spies when they were spying on Jericho, and she protected them. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, and by the way, Tamar wasn't a Jew. Rahab was not a Jew. And Ruth, who's another one, was not a Jew. This was a daughter-in-law, not a Jew. Ruth wasn't bad, though. At least in that part, she was pretty. And then you got David. David is here in the genealogy. And what did David do? In verse 6, David became a father to Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. David was the one who had sex with Bathsheba while he was kind of enjoying himself up on the top of the temple, or on top of the palace, and looked over and saw Bathsheba, had them bring Bathsheba to him while Uriah was fighting a war for him. And then, because he finds out later she's pregnant, she says to the commanders of the army, put Uriah out in the front lines. I want to make sure he's dead. You look at all this and you say, why did you put all these people in the genealogy of Jesus? It spoiled it. Jesus' family tree on the human side. Many of the kings to follow were evil kings, if you kept on going with this list. Out of all of this came not only hope, but a Savior. The human lineage is always flawed. I'm sure ours is all flawed when you look back. In fact, it's flawed because I'm in my human lineage, so it's flawed. Every human lineage is flawed. But there's something about this. I think God is trying to tell us something, even in sharing with us the genealogy of Jesus. You see, to a Jew, their genealogy was very important. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, part of my lineage. I am a Jew of Jews, and if I'm a Jew of Jews, then I have certain privileges, I suppose, or I guess I'm okay if I'm that kind of a Jew. I've got a lineage like that because I'm going to be just fine. Maybe that'll save me because I'm a Jew of Jews. And Jesus shows the lineage here. And it doesn't look fantastic. It's filled with a bunch of warts like ours are. God came into human lineage as the perfect Son of God, not because of his human lineage, but because of his heavenly lineage. He was the perfect Son of God. On Christmas Day, Jesus was born of a virgin, divinely impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God. Who was the audience of the people in Matthew? Who was the audience of Matthew? Primarily, it was Jews. Primarily, the audience that Matthew was trying to reach here is Jews. In fact, he quotes much of the Old Testament throughout his entire gospel. It's a Jewish audience by and large, and the Jews would have a tendency to brag about their lineage. I am a Jew, therefore I am entitled. This was breaking apart right from the first chapter of Matthew. Bragging about your lineage. Who would have bragged about having Judah and Tamar and Rahab as a part of their lineage. Or David, for that matter, if you take that one little piece of his life where he really blew it, because later God calls him a man after my own heart. Because you see, we've got a God who doesn't take the little pieces in our life where we really messed up. He loves us just as we are. And then he takes and wants to transform us into the people he wants us to be. Why does Matthew point this out? He wanted to highlight some of these, because usually in the genealogies, the women weren't even mentioned. It was usually just the men that were mentioned in these genealogies, but he mentions them because there's a point to the story. His lineage wasn't purely Jewish either. His human lineage was also filled with Gentiles. Who were the enemies of the Jews during Jesus' day? It was the Samaritans that lived just across the way. What were Samaritans? They were half-Jews. You look at all this and you see the messed up human lineage. You look at this and see the messed up human side of things, but there was the perfect Son of God who came into our world to take care of our mess. Is there a story beneath the story of the genealogy? Yes, I think there is. God came into flawed humanity to save us from ourselves. We are the ones that are all messed up. And God came into this flawed human existence because of our own sin to save us from ourselves. God used flawed humanity to fulfill his ultimate purposes. That's what he did for you and me. Out of this past came an absolutely glorious future. God used someone like Tamar and Rahab. Who would have thought back then, hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came, if an angel had came to Tamar and said, you're going to be an ancestor to the Son of God. What? Or Rahab, who knew who she was, but yet she did a good thing with those Jewish spies. Or even David, after he had royally messed up and then hid it for a while until the prophet Nathan said, hey, David, he shared with him a little parable, a little story. And David said, whoever did that, they ought to be killed. And the prophet Nathan said, that's you. At that point, David said, woe is me. God, forgive me. I have really messed up here. And God used all of these people in the Bible to fulfill ultimately his glorious purpose. I believe God wants to use you and me no matter who we are, no matter where we stand in our communities, no matter where we stand with our families, no matter where we stand in the scheme of everything that goes on in life, no matter where you stand in all of that, no matter how much you think you contribute or do not contribute to what's going on in the world around you, God says, I want to use you and me for his glorious purposes. And who knows what's going to happen down the road? Who knows what your kids or their kids might end up doing for God's glorious purposes? I think I can learn something from this genealogy. As God weaved throughout, and he sent his one and only perfect Son, Jesus, to come and to live and to die on the cross to fix our flawed humanity. And to raise again, that we could have hope. When Christ would come, everything changed, didn't it? And you're a part of the future. No matter what you think you have or have not contributed thus far, you're a part of God's present and future glorious purposes. You're important in the scheme of things. Isn't that amazing? Even though we are unworthy, we are important in the scheme of things to God. And he wants to use you and me for those glorious purposes. No matter how small it might seem, or big it might seem to some, he wants to use us. And for that, I'm grateful. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for using people like us. We're messed up humanity. Oh, we may grade ourselves according to those around us, but still find ourselves lacking. And yet you use people who did things even worse than what we could think of or imagine. You use them for your glorious purposes. God, I pray that you'd help everyone here this morning to recognize that you want to use them for your glorious purposes. Speak to us. Move in us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to do what you've called us to do. And help us to realize it's not us doing it, but it's you doing it through us. May we seek to bring glory and honor and praise to you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.